Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bro, can you take the shades off just real quick?
Yeah.
All right, come on. Stand up real quick. I just wanted to see some. Just height. Just a height thing.
Height. The shades is lit, though. See? You see him?
Come on, bro. I ain't going to stack
Oh,
the chain,
so you
bro.
Did a little wrestling in high school,
what's
huh?
What's up?
All right.
What's
up? What's I see you.
What's up? Watch this.
Hold on. Mess his outfit up. You mess his outfit
better
up.
Leg. Better
watch
leg.
This. Watch this. Watch better this, leg. Though. Watch this, though. See, this is what we got over y'all.
What you got? What you got? Sit down. Sit down. Get out the club. Oh, get out the club. Get out the club.
Take a seat. Take a seat.
And don't ask him out the club real quick.
And don't ask who's next. But I ain't getting this next.
You got your shades on.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, facts. Keep it riding for the fam. You gotta light the wooden wheels straight up. But in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lot to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
I'll let you dive into the respect aspect. Like, how do you balance that line between vengeance anger, respect? And again, like, I'm trying to win, but this is one of my brothers.
That's a good question. And there's different ways to be able to break it down because, you know, fight, you can't just, it's not about anger. It's not about who's the angriest that's going to win. Even though in the hood, that's what we thought. You know, you think, all right, I'm really, you know, hyped up. I'm finna go get him. It's not like that. Because when you're actually in it's a competition, it's a sport. And so to be able to compete the best and use your mind, you know, it's not about, it's learning how to control all of that. Learning how to use the anger at the appropriate time. You know, I got him hurt, I'm gonna put it on his ass now. Mm-hmm. You know, learning how to turn up in that moment. Or he's hurt a little bit, but he ain't ready yet. You know, he ain't ready to be out of there yet. So I still gotta save it and save it until I get him out. But, and I can say in two different fights, I've been able to feel that. In the Jorge fight,
right?
I wasn't angry in the point where it's like, oh man, I'm trying to get him out. Even with, you know, the situation, extra I wasn't urgent. Angry like that. Yeah. And I didn't realize I did this myself until, you know, lately. I would say I've grown a lot in the last 3 years. I'm 35 now. Yep. In the last 3 years, I've grown exponentially to where now I research. If I don't really know certain things or I feel a certain way, I'll go research.
Right.
What was the best doing? What was MJ doing when he was playing? Mm. You know, what was Kobe doing? What was all these athletes, what were they doing at that time? So I started researching and I started, MJ thought the way that I was thinking, that I was thinking this way in my career. Like I'm fighting a guy, I fought a Brazilian named Rafael Dos Anjos. Mm-hmm. He was a former lightweight champion. And it was just really nothing, you know, we didn't really have no animosity. We just signed the contract to fight each other. So, yeah, I'm training hard for him, but, you know, you need a little extra umph. I need something. So I don't really, when it's getting close to a fight, I try to stay away from the internet. So somehow I seen an interview that he did. And of course, you got to build a fight. He's trying to hype the fight. And he said, you know, yeah, a lot of people haven't been able to get to him, but I'm going to knock him out. That's all it took. Boom. in that, oh, you gonna knock me out.
Talking about me?
I need that.
Is that the MJ thing you talking about? Because yeah. MJ knew some of this stuff. He made stuff up in his head. Kobe made stuff up in their head, right? Yeah. Because
I do a little bit of that too sometimes. I do a little bit of that. To if it's not enough, I'll find something for it to be right. enough. I'll find it. And in Masvidal, it was more of a respect. Like he talked all this game. He talked, yeah, I'm the best striker. I'm the best boxer. I'm the best this. I'm best that. I could beat that dude on any given day. Because we fought twice. The first time, it was a 1 week notice. We flew all the way to Abu Dhabi and fought. And he said, nah, I was out of shape. Give me 6 weeks. I'll beat that dude. Nice I know thoughts. I can beat him. So I asked for the fight the second time. I was a champion. I didn't have to fight him again. But right. I asked for it. I said, nah, I want that. I want him. You wanted time to be able to train? Here's your time.
Right.
And I gave him that time. That's when we fought in Jacksonville. And it wasn't, I could have dominated him like I did the first time, take him down, held him down, beat him in his face, saying, nah, I wanted to send him to the shadow realm. I wanted to really put it on him. And went out there and I told him, when I did the interview, when I asked for him, and I told him, I said, this time, I'm gonna put you to sleep. And fast forward to when I put him to sleep.
Right.
Now, in the other fight where I was angry, it was when I fought Covington for the first time. Mm-hmm. That was the, you know, the MAGA dude that right, was running right. around. And he made it pretty much race related. And in that fight, it didn't matter where I went. Before the fight, I went to Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, Dominican Republic. They ain't even speak English. Like, you must kill this guy. You must kill him.
Right, right.
Everywhere.
Represent us.
Yes. Yeah. And so in that fight, I could have taken him down. I could have been used tactics and got the win. But I knew nothing was going to satisfy the world unless we stood there and I really put hands on him.
Right.
And that's what we did. We banged for 4.5 rounds until I got him out of there.
I want to go back to, because I always find it interesting sitting down with fighters, talking to y'all offline, whatnot. How much of it is like I mean, when I'm watching y'all a little, the lead up to the fights, I don't believe none of it. You understand? But there's times where y'all cross the line, you know? So like, do you ever take that personal? You know what I mean? No. When you see these weigh-ins, you see people, the press conference, the face-off, and they start shoving and pushing.
How about this? Gilbert Burns, that situation, right?
You got a line right there.
Broke a, you know, I don't know if it's a unwritten rule in the fight world, but same camp, same team, moved into a different weight class, you know, became number two. Felt deep, deep in his heart, he deserved to be champion.
He the guy.
Called you out. You accepted it. But again, it's that unwritten rule. It's, you know, if you look at the Charlo brothers, they're in different divisions on purpose.
Right.
They came out and spoke about, you know, they not fighting each other.
Right.
Things like that. So, and how do you take that from your brother, right? Somebody you've been in camp with, cheering you on,
dog.
And you guys are both on this journey to become champions.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he wants to come into your lane,
yeah.
right? For whatever reason.
Yeah. It's, you know, to touch on what you said at first. It's, we just kind of, we're in a society now to where there's, the line is blurred between good and bad. Publicity. There's no such thing anymore. It's just publicity. Mm-hmm. You know, you see it all on the gram all day, whether it's male, female, it doesn't matter. There's no such thing. Everybody just wants to be seen nowadays. Right. So they're willing to say and do whatever just to be seen. For me, I was raised different. And I'm still, my roots is deep. I was, first of all, I was raised in Nigeria long enough to be able to understand what mom and dad says and how we conduct ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, and then being a Southern boy too, raised in Texas, you know, I understand there's certain lines you don't cross. And I'm sticking by that because as a father now, the biggest thing and the most motivating thing for me is what my daughter sees. It's the example that she sees.
That's right.
That's the biggest thing for me. I don't know, I would die on the inside if my daughter saw something. And then when I came home, she asked me, because she's confused. That's not really my dad.
Right.
That's not, daddy, who's that? Why'd you say that thing? Why'd you say those? Why'd you do that? You know, that would kill me on the inside. So for me, that's the most important thing for me, is being true to myself. And I know some people might, you know, say, nah, that's not controversial enough. That's not,
are you missing
boring.
Out on money? But are you missing out on money because you
got a
little bit, like, yeah. That's absolutely.
As a football player, you know back when I was playing, I didn't do the celebrations and all that stuff like Chad, but yeah. I found myself probably in year two, year three, sitting in my loft like for 3-4 hours trying to practice a dance. I'm like, yeah. Well, we playing in Denver, bro. So yeah, hey. That's what your boy was doing.
No, I didn't. I practice an end zone dance every night before a game, bro. Odell, I played 160 games in the league, ain't scored once. I got 160 dances, bro.
It's a distraction, one, and two. You know, I was doing it because I'm like, how do I brand myself? I thought that if I do those dances, the bag would get bigger.
No, you're absolutely right, though. You know, and it plagued me for a while. It really did because it's, you know, because I'm not doing that. I'm not crossing those lines. I'm not saying certain things like that. It's
McGregor,
like,
McGregor is doing the opposite of what
exactly.
He's doing.
But there's different rules, though. There's different rules for different people.
Explain them to us.
It's different rules. McGregor can do the whole Floyd. Floyd been done this. Floyd been done all that.
For sure.
Floyd been wrote the playbook on all of it. McGregor comes out and does it, and guess what? He's even bigger. It's different rules for different people. I understand that. You know, I've traveled the world to where I understand there's different rules for different people. And that's okay.
Is that color? Is that color you mean?
Of course.
Of course,
color plays a role in it. I mean, look what we just went through. We went through a pandemic, and on top of it, riots. Look at you know, the whole police situation, police brutality situation. And this is facts. This is real. You're treated differently in different places, and that's okay. I understand it. This is just the era, and this is the time that I'm living in. Mm. So I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. Right. I'm going to make the best out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, but I understand that, yeah, there's certain things that you can or can't do. But for me, the biggest thing is I'm not willing to jeopardize who I am just for the extra bag. Because, right. Yeah, you what's having $20 million in the bank when nobody respects you?
Right.
Mm. That's the point. Right. You still got to pay in the club. You still got to buy the bottles. You know, you still got to pay for them.
Right.
You know, what's the point of that if nobody respects you at all? You know, you're still going to feel unhappy on the inside. And so... for me, that's the biggest thing is getting over that hump. Because at first it's like, man, why people, you know, they're not really, I'm being me, but they're not really rocking with it right now.
Yeah.
But then it got to a point where I got so comfortable, like, I don't give a if they rock with it or not.
That's right.
And then eventually it's like, you walk out and then they cheering, you know. Before the Masvidal fight, they booed me. I was a champion. They booed me. Yeah, I understand we in Florida. I live here too. You know, they booed me, but when we left, they was sharing. You know, so at the end of the day, as long as I do my job, I'm gonna continue to I'm gonna be happy with the end result.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. Now to your point.
That's a two-part question, because I got something deeper to come with that too. Go
that
ahead.
Fight was the most personal fight for me.
That's right.
And I never wanna go into a fight feeling personal. Of course, I do everything that I need to do psychologically preparing for it, but I never want to step in there feeling personal. And that fight was really hard for me, even from the start of it, because I had trained with him. Like we you know, a couple years had gone by for us, we didn't really train together like we used to, but this is how it was, is I come into the sport and I'm already here in Florida, and then he comes into the sport maybe the next year. And we liked each other because it's like, that's another dude that's willing to work as hard as I'm willing to work. So I know I'm gonna get good work from him every time. And he comes in with the skill of his jiu-jitsu, is very good, world champion. I'm like, okay, great jiu-jitsu. I'm a wrestler. My wrestler is better than his. We can work off of each other.
And learn.
You know, his jiu-jitsu can't work if he can't take me down.
Mm.
What do I do if I take you down? So I need you just as much as you need me.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so he's a lightweight. And he shared a goal. He wanted to be the lightweight champion. Of course, I'm going to do everything in my power to help you get there. And I'm a welterweight. And you're going to do everything to help me get there. to the point where I even flew all the way to Brazil to corner him for a fight.
Wow.
You know, I'm just that teammate. You got a fight, I don't care who it is, I'm gonna try do my best to mimic that guy for you, to give you that look. And we was like that for 4 or 5 years that we trained together. Man, you know, things.
So this is your man. This is your man.
Yeah. Like, so I mean, we deep, right? I mean, to the point where it wasn't like, oh, we was at each other's house every day.
Right.
But
that was your dog, though.
Yeah, that was my guy.
Okay.
And plus, yeah, his kids, his boys, like I'm in their lives. I see him in the gym all the time. These are my dudes. Like, oh, yo, nephew. You know, yeah. Like, you know. And so now we hit a point where it's, there was a lot of things happening behind the scenes and with the team. Team is changing over. They're going a different direction. And I just needed more. I knew in my mind, because I'm honest with myself, if I'm not where I want to be with this particular art form, I need more work at it.
Right, right.
And we have a big team. The coaches just aren't able to give me that work. So I need to go seek that work elsewhere.
That's right.
And so I had to make a move somewhere else to a different, you know, to a different coach. But that's my team. Everybody knows. Like, that's my guys.
Oh, so not really, though. So he was fouled first.
No, he wasn't.
Did you foul?
No,
he didn't. Like I said.
He left, bro. He left the team.
Better, but
listen, bro, when you left the Cowboys and you went to your team, that's different.
Fight is different.
Fight is different. Because it's some things.
This is what he said. Then what he's saying is, he brought him in. He little brother.
Right.
Little brother, come here. What you want to be? You want to be that champ? I'm finna do whatever in
Pack,
my capacity.
Oh, that's cool.
But yeah. Hold on. Just hear me out.
I hear what you're saying. Okay.
As him being the big brother, he tell the little brother, hey, look, I got to go over here and work on my hand game. So I'm going to go. I'm just using it as an example.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
I'm
going
to go over here and work with this other coach and team on my hand game. You know what I mean? Just because my hands got to get better. I've mastered everything that this circle is teaching.
Okay, but fine. Football.
But that don't have nothing to
DJ,
do with
DJ.
It's not football because you are actually on another team. He went to another camp.
Trained
by someone else.
That's a different team.
Let him explain. I hear what you're saying, but like I said before, it was a lot of things going on behind the scenes. I just, it wouldn't work anymore. It wouldn't work me being there. But this has nothing to do with the guys on the team. These are my trainers. This is the head of the staff. This has nothing to do with the guys.
Right.
I'm y'all still my dogs, my teammates. Everybody's my dog, you know. So I train with y'all to help you guys individually become the best that you can be. And you guys have done the same for me. So it's no animosity whatsoever. To the point where even in the fight that he fought Tyron Woodley, who was a former champion that I took the belt from.
Mm-hmm.
And in that fight, I had showed up to his camp a couple of days just to give him the look and just, you know, put little bugs in his ear like, right. Hey, this is how I got it done. You know, this is, hey,
this
you
the
do
blueprint.
This, you
this
do
the
that.
Blueprint.
This is how I got it done. Win. And so I'm watching that fight while I'm training in Denver. I'm watching him. Of course, I'm supporting him. I even texted him before the fight, watching the fight. Boom, fight gets done. I'm watching. I'm like, yeah, I'm happy, genuinely happy for my guy. And then he, you know, finished up. And then he called me out.
Go crazy.
After the fight.
Yeah,
after the fight.
Saying. After
yeah,
the fight.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
And I'm like.
Oof. Like, damn, dog.
The hell is wrong with him? I just was with him.
So y'all both foul.
Like, it hit me in the chest. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I understand you changed weight class now, but you hit me in the chest. Like, you know, I'm not mad at him for that. Because at the end of the day, this is an individual sport to where we all want to be champions. And knowing that as a champion, this is how you change your life, your family's
right.
life, you know,
but do
generation.
You think it was him or the coach? That's you know, the question so, I want to ask you.
I mean, I feel what you're saying.
You know.
I hear exactly what you're saying. But I wouldn't think that was the coach, especially not the head coach, because the head coach was I was his guy.
Watching
and he didn't corner.
So I'm a huge fan.
No, the head coach. Right. The head coach didn't corner.
Yeah. So, bro, listen, I'm a huge fan.
I don't want that on my resume.
I've been watching UFC back when they had no weight classes in '92.
'92.
Them type of cats where it used to be like Kumite.
Yeah.
No, just one day Royal Rumble. Like I'm a big, huge fan. From watching his press conference, watching him get into the fight, and then watching after the fight, I believe a lot of it was him personally. Because here's why, and it's a two-part question. After you dogged his ass, that's really what it was.
He
was
dog, pretty, little bro.
Nah, he was pretty good first round. After you dogged his ass, I saw the look in his eyes as he was on the ground.
I got him.
Realizing, because he went into that fight with everything in his heart, believing that he deserved to be number one.
I don't believe it.
Now, listen. I watched everything leading up. I watched when they spoke. He never said nothing disrespectful, but he basically was saying, like, this is my time, and I got to go get it. And I understand this is my brother. They were both very respectful leading up to the fight. But after the fight, it's like when you take on something more and the outcome isn't there, he just looked dejected. He realized what he believed in himself was not true. And my two-part question is after that, you kneeled and cried. What was that about? Mm.
It was you hit that one on the head.
Yeah.
Because
okay, D. Yeah.
He got emotional.
Yes, listen,
okay,
bro,
D. He got emotional. Yeah. Yeah. No. I got to do this.
Bro.
No, it was one of those to the point where, like, for me was, I genuinely, when I'm on a team with a guy, unless you just a dickhead, mm-hmm. and nobody really mess with you like that, I'm just that type of teammate to where I'm gonna do everything to help you. And we say teammate because we train together at the same time in the same gym, trying to accomplish the same goal, preferably in different weight class. But it's an individual sport. So when he called me out, of course it hit me in the chest, but as a man, I respected it because you know, you understand that, hey, I want to be the top dog.
Right.
And I, like I say, I was blessed because I don't know, at the time, I didn't realize how God was going to use that moment to test me in a different way, to show me my strength in a different way. Because I was brought, my coach in Denver called me right away because he watched the fight. He's like, you all right? And I'm sitting there like, how he know? You know? And he's like, yeah, I just seen that. And how do you feel about it? And I don't know. I just helped him, like, you know, and this, I'm kind of messed up about it. And the thing about training is when you train with somebody, you're training to get better. Like, he was a world champion jiu-jitsu guy. So on the ground, I don't know everything. That's why I train with him to get better. So of course, I'm sure he caught me a few times, you know, some submission holds here and there, get me to tap. That's fine, that's practice. Mm. I understand that was practice. And this is one thing that I said in the interview, and it's just probably the most honest I've ever been. And I said, yes, of course, practice is practice, but when there's no coach there, and there's no fans in there, and it's him and I locked in there, he knows what's gonna happen.
Ooh.
And I know what's gonna happen.
Goosebumps there.
Right.
And the coaches all know what's gonna happen.
Right.
And that was the most honest that I could be, because I understand, yeah, practice is practice. I'm sure you got me in a few different holds and stuff like that and submitted me a few times, but.
So what was that moment when you were on your knee?
So when we got in there, a big thing that hit me too is leading up, you know how they do the countdown shows and things like that, to where I happened to watch that one. I don't watch most of them, but I happened to watch that one. And it was, he was walking around the lake with his boys. And these is, you know, I love these little boys. And he was talking to them, hey, you know, who's going to be the champ, right? Who's coming home with the belt?
He's talking to his kids, his boys. Kids. He says, okay.
Those his youngest too, though.
Yeah, and his kids were like, daddy. And they did something to me. Like, I held these kids. I held these boys while I was trying to help you become the lightweight champion. Now you seen my goal and you said, nah, I want your goal. That didn't sit right with me. It did something to me. So it turned me into a different person, to where even, you know, leading up to it. And then I had to watch everything step by step after the fact. And I didn't even realize I was doing this as it was going on. I was just a different person. Like even, you know, shaking hands before the fight. You know, normally I don't like to shake hands anyways, but especially couldn't shake his hand until the deed was done. I wasn't able to do that. And so after the fight, I'm walking around and I'm, cause I was tested in a different way. This dude submitted me a few times in practice.
Right.
But I still knew I was a king in there. That was my octagon. I still knew that. And so after accomplishing that, I'm walking around. It's just this is what's so addicting about what we do, is it like we have the highs of highs and the lows of lows.
That's
and
true.
After you finish somebody, you are. I can't even describe that feeling. Mm. And I'm there and I'm walking around. And then I turn back around and he hit me like a truck. Like, at one point, this was your boy that you tried to help become champion. You left your family, your child, you flew all the way to Brazil to help him win a fight at one point. And now he's there crying all because of what I did.
That's how I saw it too, bro.
And it was...
Have y'all talked? How are y'all now?
Yeah, we good now. Good. I done came back. We done moved around, you know, a little bit. We moved around.
Yeah, he good after he got his whoop.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge marketing. Because after that, I don't know. I see you got your nightmare, you know what I'm saying, on the back. When you went up to the cage and said, take what from who?
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm a shirt guy. How did that not become a shirt? I swear to God, I went looking on you. No, after he knocked him out, he went to the camera and he said, take what from who?
Yeah.
Man, I was like,
and that's what I mean. That, I didn't even, at that moment, I didn't even.
We can do it now. Drop the shirt right now.
It was just raw emotion.
Hey, I mean, right
still,
now.
I still dropped the shirt. What is they it? Still coming for this, so I still dropped the shirt.
No, we're going to drop it.
You dropped it? You made it?
No, not yet, but
you know, we're going to drop that. Let's drop it right now.
Let's drop it right now.
What is it? What is it?
Take what from who?
Go cop that right now. Now available on I'm Athlete TV.
Be a dime life.
We going, hey, rap shit, what's the split? 50-50, 60-40, what you want?
We'll do 70-30.
I bet. 70-30. Whatever.
70-30.
This is crazy. Like, so let's rewind it back a little bit. Let's talk about your upbringing. You know, being born in Nigeria, staying there till you eight years old. Like, tell us how that kind of molds you into coming over to the States and having you mentally prepared to where you're at today. Like,
the biggest thing is that the difference is I was there long enough to get the culture to where
humble
coming here now, seeing how things are here now, it's kind of borderline sad to me, because that's the dynamic of how it is here. You 18, get out, go get you a job. You're a man now, or you an adult, get out. Mm. There is very, very common to have first, second, third generation all in the same household. You know, figuring it out. You need help with this, we got you. Your kids, yeah, this is where they stay. The family raises. That's when they say it takes a village, that's how it is. That's the village. You know, to hear where it's just, get out. You 18, get out, go find your way.
Right.
You know, and 18-year-old, like, we could all admit it didn't take a week. We, you know, we got to like 20s, late 20s, maybe 30s before you figured out what you wanted to do, how you wanted to be that person. But if you were supposed to go fend for yourself at 18, you know, think about all the mistakes that you're capable of making at that point, all the things that you do wrong. You know, so I see that. I was there long enough to understand that.
Right.
And have that instilled in me.
So talking about your upbringing, your pops, you know, how big of a role did he play in your upbringing?
A humongous role. My dad was a military dad. He was a major in the army in Nigeria. So where, you know, and my dad was he's just so hard. He was one of those dudes
right.
to where my dad never told me he loved me until I think I remember being an adult before he actually said that. But that didn't mean, I didn't know my dad didn't love me. I knew my dad loved me. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to say it to me, but I knew. My dad was the type of dad to where, you know, he was working all day. We done came home, it's Friday, we done cleaned the house and vacuumed because we knew that's brownie points. We cleaned the house, vacuumed everything, everything's nice. My dad walk in the house, he see a spot. hey, there's something over there.
Right.
Like, damn. You know, we was always, we're always trying to get that, you know, that approval from my dad, in a sense. And I think, you know, for me, as a parent now, understanding that, it wasn't necessarily bad to where now they be, oh, that's an authoritarian. That's not the best type of parenting styles. I understand that. But based on what I needed and the kids that he was raising, that's what worked for us. Mm-hmm. Because without him, I don't know if I would be here today.
Did they support you out the gate? Because I got a lot of friends that are, you know, I got a lot of Haitian friends, Nigerians, and, you know, a lot of times they want, you know, education is first. Doctor, lawyer, something like that.
Yeah.
So first of all, what made you say, I want to fight? And then after you decided to fight, talk about how your parents accepted what you wanted to do.
Nah, they didn't accept it at first. Even in high school, when I wanted to go into wrestling, they didn't know I was wrestling for the first 2 years. I didn't really tell them. I was playing football, and they were okay with that because that's what everybody in Texas, that's what everybody did. You play football. If you wasn't, you know, if you were done with school, you needed extracurricular activity after school, you were at football practice. So the first year, they knew I was at football practice. The second year, I was at practice. Third year, I was at practice until my mom saw me on TV wrestling. Then the cat was out the bag. Yes.
Damn, my baby good.
The cat was out the bag, and I came home, and then it was like, oh, okay. But at that point, I was already too good enough to where I could continue.
Right.
But no, of course, there's, you know, of course, as African parents, when we immigrate here, you know, it's a sensible thing. We want our children, our offsprings, to go into avenues that are going to feed them forever to where they don't have to struggle. They want you to be a doctor because you're always going to get a job.
That's right.
That's a skill that you can always use. Be a nurse. That's a skill you always use. Be a lawyer or engineer. These are skills that will never go out of style, that you will always use. So that's why they push so heavily for those.
Right.
Of course, not sports, because it's not. We all know.
Yeah, in the football, the chances of
you making it are very slim. And of course, you know, injuries and things like that will cut that dream short.
Right.
So they would rather you not risk a gamble on that.
Right.
But for me, I was doing both. I was trying to do both. But the more I got into sports, you know, the cooler it was. You know, the cooler I was now. I'm with the cool kids now. You know, you're playing football, you're doing this. It's like, okay, the grades start to slip a little bit because that's not your sole focus anymore. But I was still able to kind of maintain both balance to where they didn't ask too many questions. They just knew I was going to practice.
Right, right.
So I kept going to practice and kept going to practice until, yeah, my mom had seen me on television and I came home with a medal. So I had proof now. Oh, you saw me? Oh, damn, busted. But I got this medal.
Right, right.
So at that point, it was accepted slightly in a way.
Right.
My dad still, your grades better not drop.
Yeah, right.
Okay. But what it actually did for me, it actually helped me.
Yeah.
Because once I started to do that, now my focus started shifting to that, to where when I was freshman year, I played football. I was 5'2", 103 pounds. Texas football.
Wait, what position?
Yeah.
What? I mean, middle school. middle school.
103?
Middle school, I had the speed to get around.
Yeah.
Because in middle school, they weren't big like that yet.
High school a little different.
High school, these dudes in the college.
Yeah, that's
when, like, looking like college, they big in Texas.
That's when you really know if you love it or not.
So
that freshman year.
I'm still, you know, I'm at that point, what, 14? So, you know, boys develop a little slower than girls, so I'm still a little soft at that point.
Right.
So I'm trying to run through the middle and get smacked by the linebacker like that. And I'm just like, man, this ain't for me. You know, and then at that point, I had to make a decision. And that's kind of when they told me, oh, come try wrestling. Because at that point, you didn't need the size like that for wrestling.
Mm.
It was more of technique. And so I eventually went out and tried it. It was the hardest thing I ever done in my life.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I kept coming back. And kept coming back and coming back. So I eventually learned something.
I read some that your first time getting pent was by a young lady.
Oh yeah, I got, you know, my first practice.
Practice.
First wrestling practice. And the coach was, you know, the football, he was the assistant football coach. So he'd be licking his chops the whole time to get me to come in there. But, you know, I play football, you know, we cool, football player. Like, right. Nah, man, I ain't finna do that. I ain't finna be grabbing each other like that, man. Coach, nah, I ain't doing that. He's like, come in and try wrestling. Nah, I ain't trying to get hit with a chair, man.
Yeah,
I ain't jumping off the top turnbuckle. Because that's the only wrestling I knew at that point. So he's like, just come on in here, son, and try it. And I'm like, all right. So one day I went in there, and they was like, they was waiting on me. They had the shoes ready, had a shirt, shorts ready for me. And I'm like, because I wanted to just go in there and say, yeah, I showed up, you know. I wasn't ready for me, so I'm out. But he's like, here you go. I'm like, I'm in this. So we get in the practice, and they put us in a group of four. And there's three dudes, all the same size, 100 pounds. And it was a girl in the group. Now, we know girls develop faster than men. So they stronger than us at that point.
I thought that was like elementary and middle school.
Nah, and she got that mean. She acted, she mean.
Nah, that right. middle school age, you know, 12, 13, they there already. So we get in and we wrestling. I don't know what I'm doing. We just, you know, they saying do, you know, wrestle. We wrestling. She, boom, she take me down. Wow. Like that. Okay. Get back up. We doing stuff. Boom, take me down again. Dang. Slam me. I'm doing whatever I can. I don't know what I'm doing. She slammed me, put me. And it was just something so defeating about. As a young man, I couldn't get off my back. Like, people don't think about that. Can you imagine me putting you on your back right now and you can't get up? There's nothing you can do about it. It was just something about that so defeating. And that's why I say I was blessed, because I'm learning so many different lessons at so many different stages. I just remember walking home that day, and I'm messed up. I'm like, yo, I got up today.
My girl, say that. Girl. Say that too now. Okay.
By this
okay.
girl, say that. And there was nothing I could do about it. But this is where I say my mind was wired a little different, because as I'm walking home, and I used to walk home after school at that point because I stayed for practice. As I'm walking home, my whole thought, yeah, I was disappointed, but my whole thought process was like, I'm gonna get her back tomorrow. Mm. And I walked home, and I came back the next day, and she assaulted me again, you know? So I walked home, same thing, I'm gonna come back. Boom, right. Same thing. Now, a couple of weeks have gone by, and we wrestling, we doing stuff. I don't know what I'm doing, and I throw a move. It was a move we learned, headlock. And I threw it, boom, and it worked. And I was hooked. That was my first.
That was the hook.
Right. Hook right there. Oh, I learned something. Oh, I'm going to come back.
That's what hooked you right there?
That was what first got me back. So the next year, I didn't even go for football. I went straight into wrestling.
Yeah.
Kept training. It wasn't until I got my first, when I got that first medal, it was a wrap after that.
What's your record right now?
Fighting, I don't know.
UFC. I mean, you haven't lost since.
15-0 in the UFC.
20, right.
All right, but you have one loss.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the one loss. You know, because you haven't, since then, I mean, we don't even see a loss in sight.
We need, girl got to get her respect.
Yeah, that's right. Girl need her respect.
Come on now, hold up.
Right.
I bet she's somewhere right now, like, yo.
She dogged me, but
I come to find out, she was like a three-time state champion.
She been working.
So she knew what she was doing.
You remember her name?
Yeah, I remember her name.
Let's shout her out, man.
Shot Angela. Yeah, Angela Martinez.
You know the last name. Yeah. Angela
knows she did. What's up?
You know the name.
Take too many L's. We heard you gave me one in the night.
It was a lesson that I learned. And then even in that first loss, like I said, I'm blessed to the point where I needed that. I needed to understand that. Because when I came into the sport of MMA, I was an elite wrestler. Like, I was a national champion in college, and I was training for the Olympics. I was living at the Olympic Training Center. So 2 years out there, training with the best in the world, and feeling that level. So then I come into the sport of MMA, and it's nothing. If I get a hold of somebody, they were gonna fly, or I'm taking them down, and I just I didn't care if you was 120, a flyweight, or you was a heavyweight. Right. It didn't matter. If I touch you, I'm taking you down. Right. And so it was just something about that. It was, I guess it was, for lack of a better word, an ignorance about that. To where I was like, I control all this. You know, right. I do what's going on here. Yeah, they might be a better boxer than me, but if I get a hold of you, it's a wrap. You might be a better kickboxer, or you might be a better jiu-jitsu guy, but if I get a hold of you, it's a wrap. So I was slacking on jiu-jitsu practices because I'm like, you can't use that jiu-jitsu if you can't take me down. Nah, you know, I could only go twice a week. I didn't have to go 4 or 5 times a week. So I would slack off a little bit in that. And then I had my first fight, went out there, TKO, got the second round finish. So I'm feeling myself.
Right.
You know.
Easy work.
Yeah.
I ain't got no cold tub.
Yeah.
Day, you know.
Light work. You know, I could, I'm just going to build off of this. So I'm on that just like that. And I'm trying to get a fight, but I couldn't get a fight. You know, now the internet is big now. So everybody, you know, you get paired up to fight somebody and they Google you. Oh, this dude is an Olympic level wrestler. Nah, I'm good. I'm not fighting. National champion? Nah, I'm not fighting him. So I had a problem getting fights. I went through like maybe like 15 opponents after that first fight. Everybody kept pulling out and pulling out. And then there was a promotion down here in Miami called CFA. And it was like maybe like a 2 weeks notice or something like that. And they were like, hey, we got this guy. You want to fight him? And some of my teammates were from around South Florida. So they knew the dude. They were like, oh, you going to smack the dude. So I'm, all right then. You know, enough said. You said I got him because I'm training every day.
Right.
But I'm going to beat him. You know, y'all already told me because y'all seen how I get down in here. Y'all see how I throw dudes around. All right, I'm going to get him. So it was the ignorance in that for me. So for the first time, I started listening to people, like listening, oh, you much better in this than them. You much better than that, much better than that. But myself, I didn't necessarily have all the confidence in every areas of the sport. So I go into the fight, I take the fight, I go in, and plus I needed money. You know, I was broke, it's $1,500 for the fight. I'm like, yeah, I need that. So we get into it, we fighting. I threw a 1-2, I think I hit him. Changed levels, it was smooth, so easy. Boom, took him down, mounted him. I'm on top, I'm like, all right, finna get him out of here. And dude was like 6'2", maybe 6'3", 170 pounds, so right. He long. And I'm on top in full mount and I'm trying to punch him. And he threw his legs around my waist. I had never seen that before. He was very flexible. I never felt this, clearly because I had never been in, you know, clearly I ain't been in jiu-jitsu practice. Yeah. Right? He threw some new stuff at me. I ain't never been, I'm not training jiu-jitsu like that.
Right.
So I panicked. I was like, yo, what is this? Like, how is this?
This is probably why you wanted to partner with your brother then. He's like,
yeah, partially. Yeah.
Right.
So I panicked. I'm like, yo, I feel uncomfortable here. So I'm trying to get up. I'm trying to turn and escape. And he done climbed up my back already. Boom, now he on my back. Body triangle. He looking for the choke. And I'm standing up with him. He's a backpack right now. I'm standing up with him. And he's so tall, his feet can still touch the ground, but he on my back. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do here. And for the first time in my, for a long time, I was just out of answers. I didn't know what to do. So I'm like, okay, maybe I should go back down to the floor, but nah, he on my back. Right. I had no idea what to do down to the floor. And now the crazy thing is, I'm thinking about all of it.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing
BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/big deal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
As it's happening, and I remember like it was yesterday, all this is happening. I'm standing up against the cage and I'm fighting his hand.
Right.
And I'm thinking, yeah, if I roll back down, but now I don't know what I'm doing down there either. So nah, just stay up here. You know, at least you're safe for now. And then I hear his brother was in the UFC at that point. And I could hear his brother saying, oh, he's gonna tap. And the competitor in me right away was like, no, I'm not tapping. I'm not about to tap. But then I realized what just happened in the locker room. The commission comes out and they have a meeting with all the fighters before. And the Florida commission said, hey, if you are choked unconscious, it's an automatic 6 months suspension. Oh. So if you go out, because you know we're fighters, we like, nah, I'm never tapping.
Right.
You got to kill me in here. But if you go choked unconscious, it's automatic 6 month suspension. This fight, I'm making $1,500.
No work, no.
So, yeah, I ain't going to be eating for a while if I don't tap right now.
Yeah.
And then it's like, there's no way, I have no idea how to defend myself right now. So I got to tap. Wow. I wasn't as tired, but I'm. Now his brother's still screaming, he's gonna tap. I'm like, shit, am I gonna tap? Now my legs are shaking. Cause now I got this 190 pound backpack on me and I'm like, yo. All right. So for the first time, I quit on, been a long time, I quit on myself. Wow. I was like, I have to tap because I'm outgunned. I just don't know how to get out of
this. Do you regret that? Because you know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
That was a lesson.
No. No, I don't regret it because...
To me, it was like super strategic.
Very strategic. You don't want to be without money for 6 months if you don't have to.
Right. Yeah. I'm broke. Yeah. I'm broke.
It's the beginning.
But at the end of the day, of course, I would like to be undefeated
right.
in my career. But it's true what they say. You learn more from your losses than your wins. And so I tapped. I was, I think, maybe the second or the third fight. It was maybe like 13 fights on the card. That night, after I tapped, I immediately regret, the feeling that I had wasn't of regret that I tapped, it was of regret that I haven't learned enough about this sport to be able to step out here and compete. Yeah. I didn't have every tool that I needed to be successful out here. So I tapped, I walked out in the back. It was over at the Hurricanes where they played the basketball arena. And there was a hallway back there. And I was in the hallway by myself. There's nobody, the fights are going on, people in there, in the in the arena, I paced back and forth in the hallway for maybe like 3 hours, just me. And in my head, I was like, I'm never gonna let that happen again. I'm never gonna let that happen again. So I got done. I was so embarrassed. I hid for a week. I was just hid in my room for a week.
Why embarrassed? And that was, how I be though.
And that was the my girl at the time had come to watch me fight. Oh. So I just got beat in front of my girl. And it's just something about, that's what we mean as fighters. You go through the highs of highs and the lows of lows.
Yeah.
So after a loss,
yeah,
I'm walking down the street. I don't care who it is. It's an old lady at the edge of the street. She knew I got my ass whooped. In your mind, you feel, oh, she know I got my ass whooped. The way she looked at me, she knew I got my ass whooped. Yeah. It's the craziest thing. You can't even explain it. It's, I'm walking that little baby. He made sounds. No, he know I got my ass whooped too. You know? So I'm feeling like that. So I hid for a week. I was just in my house, embarrassed.
Right.
And it was something after, I was like, you know what? I'm going to learn everything that I can about that.
What was that moment for y'all? What was that ass whooping for y'all? You know, was it a, it could have even been something outside the field. It was like, you know what? I got to take things to a whole nother level.
I'll go first. So anytime I get asked, you know, advice by a, you know, young kid or a parent, hey, can you teach my kid, tell my kid something? I tell them, be the most in shape person out there and know what you're doing. It was two times playing football. One time I wasn't in shape, and it wasn't because I came off an injury or nothing like that. I just didn't do what was needed in the off season or whatever to get me to where I wanted to be. And then another time I wasn't mentally prepared for that game. And I don't know if it's like this in the fight world, and it's harder for you two because you guys are on offense, because defense, we're reactive, right? We can't do nothing really until y'all move or do something. And I can have an assignment, but if one guy moves over there, my assignment changes. So really, I got to wait to see what you're doing to know what I'm doing. It was around the fourth play, and I was gassed in one game. And then it was around the seventh play in the other game, and I had no idea what I was doing. I was the Mike linebacker, so I was the quarterback of the huddle. So I'm supposed to lead everybody, tell everybody what they're doing. And I said, oh, shit, I got 70 plays left. Like, you studying for a guy, you getting it. Oh, no, he's bigger, he's quicker, he's, So when I was not in shape, I'm four plays in the game. I start saving. I ain't hustling to the ball, I ain't running, I ain't jumping up. I'm doing all these things, right? At the time where I was in shape, but I didn't mentally know what I was doing, I just start banging in the shit. That's a rule in football. Yes. If you don't know what you're doing, just go hit somebody. I just start banging in the shit. But being the leader of the defense, I was like, you know, because it's a team sport.
Yeah.
I was like, bro, I didn't rob me. I could deal with that. It's, you know, 45 other guys, 65, 70 guys on the team, right. Coaching staff, people, the guy that make the omelets, this and that. I robbed all of them.
Mm.
And I told myself, I'll never feel that again. Like, you could beat me, you could out-scheme me, you can do all that, but I'm going to know what I'm going to do, and I'm going to be in shape to get there. And
right.
Ever since then, I made sure that I always knew what I was doing, and I was in shape.
So the number one rule is, as a football player, if you don't know nothing, go hit something, go bang something.
Yeah. You don't know nothing.
Still don't know nothing. Yet. Better go
listen, right. It's a coach. It's a coach watching film. Oh, I can work with him. If you drop your 10, 15, I can work with him. Yeah. Right? We just get him going the right direction. Right. I can work with him. 100%.
He's going to hit his own teammates.
You're right. And don't, hey, friendly fire, baby.
Well, I ain't never had too many points like that.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I might have had a couple games where somebody had 100 yards, but I would use
it Randy been Moss. League. It could have been Little League.
I was the star. I dominated all that shit.
So you ain't never had no old moment?
As far as what?
Like everybody that's like, ever gotten been in the NFL.
I ain't had an old moment except when I played Randy Moss.
There it is.
I go to the sideline and say, hey, put two motherfuckers
motherfuckers over here because I need help.
Well, let's hear about
that's
it.
That's the moment.
Let's hear about it.
That's the moment. I was going to say that moment. But my point was, like, the first play, bro, he take me on the go. And, you know, I was fast. So I'm running. I'm like, thank God they ain't throw this ball. I'm like, damn, he started pulling off on me. Second play, they call the same play. It probably a bomb for 60 yards
did
on me.
Do that?
I go to the sideline.
You in Dallas at this time?
No, I'm in Tennessee.
You in Tennessee, oh, early.
I go to him.
Oh, you early? Early, early back. Yeah. You're on the back.
It's the pack dog.
My second year. Yeah. I go in there. I'm like, yo, bro, we had halftime. I'm like, listen, there's nobody over here that can guard him one-on-one. Stop calling all this man and leaving us over here one-on-one with him.
Back.
The man got 89 yards at halftime, 5-10 catches. A touchdown, I'm like, bro, we got to have help. So if I had that one, our moment, it was, I haven't seen too many people that no, can that, track that check Randy
moment.
Moss.
That was your moment.
That was my moment. I had no answer for it. You know what I mean? Every now and then you might win one or two routes. You know, it's competitive, but he was one of those guys. Well, shit, the first route, if he run deep, you're going to be running deep for the next 10.
Yep,
you know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm going to make sure, but like – Randy Moss was by far that odd moment for me because I had no answer for him. I couldn't run with him because over 15 yards, he was catching stride. Couldn't jump balls. He was going to beat me on that. Only thing I had for him is try to grab his hand. Couldn't press his ass at all.
Right. I'll be quick. Family sit down with me. Always say, what's your bit wall? So any young athlete, what's your bit wall? What makes you the best in the world at what you do? Right, stick to that. Like early on in my career, I would study Ocho and I would study all these little receivers, and I'm spending my whole offseason trying to be quick at the top of route doing it. I'm like, man, I ain't never gonna look like Ocho. I'm never gonna look like Steve Smith. I'm never gonna look like Marvin Harrison. So I start studying the big dudes, and I'm like, how do I use my strength? That's what makes me better than any other wide receiver. So I try to beat up dudes, right? So when any family or young athlete sit down with me, I say, what's your bit wall? It could be IQ. It could be your size, it could be your speed, it could be your work ethic, but what is it? And let's be the best at that. That's what's gonna separate you. So anyways, I figured that out, right? Now we in Denver, and we playing against Green Bay. Al Harris, cornerback.
Al Harris, okay.
Right, dreads, gold teeth, he from down here, right? Like,
he's scared.
Nah. I'm going back to my bit wall. Now, ain't no corner stronger than me. That's why Pac-Man Jones stopped pressing me.
Yes. Oh,
okay, so boom.
He tried to do,
bam.
He's, ain't nobody stronger than B at the line, I will say.
Right. So right. Now I'm in the game, and I'm going against Al Harris. It might have been Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football.
Showtime.
Right? Coach Shanahan, Jay Cutt, the whole, all y'all boys.
Everybody.
So I'm out there, and when I tell you before the game, me and Al kind of looked at each other, and we start yapping. Boom, I'm young. He older, too, now. We got into it. Well, I got this legendary picture of me and Al helmets like this, like two pit bulls before the game. And then, bro, when I say once that game started, it wasn't even business no more for him. It was all personal. That man in the first place put me like this. I was like, oh, my goodness, the first time. Like, he was little, too. I was like, dude, this is grown man strength. So now I had to change my whole plan. I was in a fight the whole game. And then after, Coach Shanahan and Jay Cutler, anytime I would trip in practice, they'd be like, don't make me go get Al Harris.
I'm glad y'all thought that was funny. You got bullied around.
I ain't gonna admit that was the one moment.
We not getting bullied.
That was the one moment. No. I finished the game. Yeah. That was the game. I ended up catching a little something. I had 70 yards and we won the game. But if you look at it, because stats, sometimes numbers lie.
That's true.
I had like 70 yards and most receivers like, okay, it was a decent game. No, I got my ass whooped.
Yeah, it ain't even about the number.
It was like how you was walking home.
You know,
that's how I felt. I was like, oh my goodness, Al Harris, like, that was different. Like, ain't nobody gonna take my will out here on the field. That was the first and only dude that ever did that.
Randy Moss, my only one too.
Right, so come on, Shady.
Unlike these guys, you know what I mean?
Come on, Shady.
I'm gonna tell you, I don't have none. I was always, you know what I mean, like that. I never had these issues about.
I can't take him serious, dog.
I'm not asking Coach. I can't do nothing with this linebacker. He's too good.
He's dead serious.
I done had a problem with him. I grabbed him on my neck. And I don't know what he said, but I don't have none of them issues. I apologize. But one thing I do want to talk about, aside from that, you talk about the business part, about the finances and all that, right? And I know you were younger at the time with the $1,500. But I got a lot of boxing friends, right? And they don't have a union also. And you guys don't have a union. So in the locker room, we would talk about different things like, dang, how can we have a better league, right? We would talk about the NFLPA, et cetera. So my thing with you guys is, how do y'all feel about that? What are y'all conversations about?
We feel very, very strongly about that because at the end of the day, you know, this is our health that we're all putting on the line each and every time we step out there. Now, the difference between us and our sport is it's a lot harder to be able to organize something like that when it's an individual sport.
Right.
So, like, for you guys, you can say, a basketball team can say, yo, six of us ain't playing tonight. Mm-hmm. They have to shut the game down.
Right.
You know, we can't do that because when you say, you know what, I want to be this guy. I want to be the leader. And you stand up. Guess what? It's number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 ranked that's willing to jump in there and take your spot because they know they're going to get more chips than you get than they getting right now. So that right there makes it almost damn near impossible to be able to stand up and make, accomplish that. And so, I mean, it's definitely something that's important because when you're done with the sport, let's be honest, like, and I can say that right now, I've sacrificed a lot. I've sacrificed my whole body for this sport.
Right.
You know, I've had 8 surgeries.
Y'all have insurance?
You know, that was just been an accident.
We do have insurance, but it's kind of like a workman's comp type insurance.
Right. If you're hurt on the job. You need to go to the doctor. That's what men be saying. So in the league, they give you insurance. So your family.
That's the thing.
And we're retired. So you got about 5 years.
Exactly. So also in the league, y'all get paid. Y'all get your check.
Right. Yeah. During the season, right.
Wife, kids, cover everything.
Exactly. Yeah. We not like that.
So y'all have no insurance thing?
We don't have insurance like that. I got to get my own insurance.
So what about, so the other thing is, right, I mean, it's like now that I'm retired, I talk to the active players. You know, after you're done, right, we have so many different benefits where, do you ever talk about that? Like when because boxers, I know a lot of boxers, when they done.
They don't have it.
They don't have
question is like, what conversations are y'all having right now?
That's what
like,
I'm asking, right.
Cause
is it any conversation?
And I'm sorry to put the pressure on you, but I feel like it comes from the top. Like you are the best pound for pound. Like that's fat, right? Like you, the Conor McGregors of the world, right? Like, you know, are y'all having conversations? Do y'all even think, cause also we think about this, it's almost like it's instilled in our culture where it's like, we always look like, all right, how do we push the game forward? Peyton Manning, I'm going to push the game forward, make it better, right?
Yeah.
Do y'all think about that? Like, how y'all going to push the fight forward?
Some of us do. Now, this is the difference is, of course, I played team sports. I played on football teams, on a basketball team, middle school, you know. So I was able to understand working. There's something to be said when you can understand being on a team like you guys to where you, like you said, to where you could collectively know that, hey, if I don't do my job, I'm cheating everybody else. So this is for the greater good of everybody else. There's something to be said about that. And I understood that because I did play team sports for a while. But a lot of fighters don't get that. They're not that.
Right.
They've been fighting. This is all they could do.
Right.
So they've been fighting since they were 5, 6. So that's a sole proprietorship, like you're the only one working on
track
that.
And
you're
field.
Trying, yeah, yep. You're trying to get yourself to that level. So it's about you.
But here's the problem with the UFC. The problem is because you know I spoke there 2016, y'all first time coming together, right? It's the first time I met you. The problem is, and I don't know if things changed since then, but UFC got a Reebok deal. Y'all still got that Reebok deal?
No, it's Venom now.
It's Venom.
Yeah.
But everybody in UFC is signed to Venom, right?
So you have to wear?
No, the thing is that that's the official uniform.
Right.
So you have to wear that.
So I have to wear that to fight. Yes.
Just like football.
So just like football was Reebok.
Yeah, but it's like, that's your uniform. You have to wear that.
You got to wear that. Who has the Nike deal? Who has the Reebok deal? Who has the Adidas deal and the Puma deals in UFC?
Well, see, that's the thing is when it was Reebok, there was a couple of athletes who had individual deals as well.
I think Jones had one.
But when you step in there,
just like us,
you still got to wear
like us,
Zip Venom.
Yeah. Your jersey got to be.
Before the uniform actually went in, you know, John had a Nike deal for a little bit.
Yeah, he was Nike.
I think Anderson Silva and Junior Dos Santos, they had the Nike deal. But then when UFC decided, no, we're going to go the uniform route,
Now they signed a deal with Reebok. You can't wear Nike in there anymore.
Right.
Now you have to be in
Reebok. See, that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
You can't change the Reebok.
I know, but it's deeper. Go ahead.
It's deeper.
Yeah, it's way deeper. That's crazy because before they would go in, patches here, there, shirt, hat, this and that, making cheese.
Yeah.
Now UFC decided to say, no, we got one official uniform. We're getting paid by this company. Yeah. Are they sharing that?
Because the value of the UFC's valuation goes up by being able to control the brands and the partnerships. Now, if you're controlling the athletes, the number one assets, and they can't go do what DJ's talking about, they don't have insurance. Mm-mm. They don't have the benefits in the union that we have and people fighting for us. So now they really, y'all missing out on opportunities to capitalize off of y'all likeness.
Right. So my question is, when you walk out, can you wear patches and stuff?
Yes.
All right, but that's when you make up.
There is a way. You're right. That's the way you make up for it. And right now, I have individual deals outside. You know, certain companies that are willing to work with you. But these companies have to understand that, okay, once you do your job in there and you've raised your profile, okay, we can still get something out of you on the outside. But in your highest moment, which is you sleeping somebody in the middle of that cage, they can't be a part of it. They got to miss out on that.
That was what
the struggle was and the biggest, you know, change was. Because when UFC decided to say, you know what, we don't want you to have those patches on you and this and that anymore. Yes, of course, it hurt us because that was a lot of money. It killed a lot of the sponsorship game. But now you had to pivot and learn how to make money on the outside, you know, without them being a part of, you know, your branding while you're inside.
How's your relationship with Dana White? Now it's good.
Yeah.
How did y'all get there? How was it before then? How did y'all get there? Because that's the business.
Piggyback
off what you want to talk about the business. Like,
yeah, I have a good manager, Ali Abdelaziz. Shout out to him. He was able to still, because I didn't like Dana for a long time. Because of course, you're coming up and this is all you see.
Yeah.
And of course, there's a lot of issues, just like the issues we're raising now. There's a lot of those situations to where you don't understand the guy, to where you're just trying to get there. But of course, you're already unhappy by the time you get there, you know, because you're just, here's your fight, here's your money. But then you get to a certain point, like where I am now, to where now it's more of a partnership.
Yeah.
To where now
you the brand.
You're part of the pay-per-views, I get part of pay-per-view buys. So as hard as I sell and make this better, of course, it could be better. Of course, the split could be a lot better.
Right. That's in every sport, though.
You give me $100 million today, I'm going to take it. But, you know, maybe next week, I might feel like I want $200.
Right.
You know, so that's always going to be there because I'm just that type of individual. But now I got to a point where I realized you have to sit down with this man and actually understand the game for what it is. Because this is a partnership now. Yes, he has to do his job, but I have to do my job as well in order us to collectively bring in as much money as possible. Because the more money I bring in, you know, the bigger piece I'm going to take home.
Yeah.
Of course, it could be bigger.
Like you're earning it.
Could be bigger, yeah.
do you see a situation like what's starting to happen in boxing and other sports, right, where, you know, and I know Francis Ngannou has spoken about this before, right?
Yeah.
Heavyweight champion, sleeping everybody, right? And you look at what he's getting paid versus what a heavyweight boxer is getting paid. Do you think that at some point in time, the UFC will have to share more because some of their top dogs are going to start finding unconventional ways or unconventional leagues or different ways to go ahead and monetize themselves, right? Like what's happening with boxing, right?
Jake Paul, to
be honest, it's fighting, combat sport, but when I look at a thriller fight or something, I'm looking at it as entertainment,
right?
Like I'll be honest, I buy into those fights, not feeling like I'm about to go see some of the top competitors in the world. I buy in because it's $79 and I'm about to be entertained, right? Like somebody gonna get slept, somebody gonna do something crazy. Do you feel that the UFC's feeling some type of pressure like that? Because you have the Jake Pauls calling out the Dana Whites and doing things like that, right? Like $100 million, you know what I mean? $100 million.
Yeah, Jake Paul making 20, he about to make $25 million. And I know he with Espinoza and Showtime, but like he went from $2 million his first fight, somewhere around there, to $15 million, to now like 20, but pushing like, 25 million.
That's different. Everybody cannot do that. It's a lot of black.
He's trying to offer these guys that bag because he understands that bringing in somebody like Usman is going to make his bag go higher.
You know what I mean?
He's pestering Dana.
Yeah.
Right. And you know Dana has shut that down, but now what I see is Dana's kind of responding a little bit, and you know you hear the. Maybe I'll let Nate Diaz go handle. You know what I mean? You're starting to hear it. Like, do you think there's ever going to be a time where the fighters get more power because there ends up being unconventional avenues to showcase your skill set?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like everything. Times change. And as time changed, the sport and everything is going to change around it. To answer that, it's... Learning now, being in the position I'm in, I'm able to see a little bit more back door and see what's going on behind the scenes. And so when you really break it down, yeah, of course, we could be getting a lot more, 100%. Like, give me $10 million today, I probably was worth 20. You know, I'm always going to feel like that. I'm just that type of athlete. I always want more. That's what's led me to where I am in my career. There's a lot of differences in the sports and in the way that we got to where we even are right now. And there was a lot that Dana and Lorenzo and the guys that started the UFC, there was a lot they had to endure to even get us to a certain point.
Crazy. I respect that, yeah, right.
Yeah, and so think about all the politics in boxing. Think of everything that goes on. Like, of course we hear in boxing, yeah, this dude made 30 million, okay? But there's a promoter, then there's the manager, then there's the trainer, you know. Then
40% gone.
Yeah.
They all not making money like that. Them 30 million he's talking about, it's a select few.
Yeah. And then it's, you got to go through, you go to this, and that, looking at the Tyson story, you know, like, yeah, I want 20 million for that fight. All right, you got 20 million, but you didn't really know they paid the dude 100 million. You know, and he gave you 20,
right?
Which you probably gave him your percentage as well, but he already pocketed the other 80. You didn't know that. You know, what the UFC did, they killed all of that. So they cut all of that out to where now all you have to do is train. You got your manager speak for you. Here's how much we're going to pay you for this fight. Boom.
So you know. So is the UFC the better business model than boxing? Would you rather have
1,000%.
Cleaner.
Yep.
Cleaner.
And they don't duck.
Cleaner. In the UFC, you know who the welterweight champion of the world is.
That's true.
Boxing is
25
seven belts.
It's 30 belts.
So four belts.
They made up a belt.
Four belts. So what's the next phase of the UFC for? Because to me, when you talk about it, I appreciate you giving Dana his flowers, because a lot of times people don't understand, you know, what it took to get there. Great. Phenomenal. Give him his flowers. Endured a lot. But now... This is real, where you talk about
100%.
Your health. I think a couple weeks ago in boxing, someone died in the ring.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. Now we talking about y'all don't have health insurance, right? So thank you, Dana, to get us to this point. But what are the 2-3 things that we can do moving forward to push make sure the fighters, the number one assets, are taken care of?
Right. Absolutely. And and I think they... You know, what they wanted to do is by building the Performance Institute.
Yeah.
To where before it was like, okay, you hurt. All right, your fight's off. All right, we'll pay for you to go to the doctor. Once you get done, give us a call and, you know, you're right back in here fighting for us. Now there's a place to where fighters can actually go to and get treatment and start to. So basically that's a way to keep you in the game longer.
Right.
Of course.
And they pay for that.
Yeah, they take care of
it. Where's that headquarters? It's in Vegas.
It's in Las Vegas.
Okay. It's beautiful.
I respect that.
Which is great. They've made a lot of strides. You know, and before, and this was another thing too, and that I had to come to before, was the sport was too new to really understand what the implications were going to be down the line.
Right.
So now, 30 years later, first of all, it's grown exponentially.
Yeah. Yes, it has.
So to go from a, you know, maybe a $4, $8 million company to now selling, what, almost 8 years ago for like $5 billion.
Was it that
big
much?
Big B.
Yeah, bro.
Big B.
Yeah.
They doing better than boxing right now.
So it's not even close.
It's international and they're growing like crazy.
To be able to grow like that, that means margins is very, very, very good. So that means things could probably scale back a little bit. We're at a point now to where, I mean, it's, I would say behind, you know, football, you know, soccer, it's probably the worldwide second fastest growing sport in the world.
Mm. Currently right now, three champions from Nigeria.
Yes.
Right?
West Africa. One's Cameroon.
Oh, Cameroon. Yeah. And Ghana's Cameroon. Yeah. Right. How much do you guys, how proud are you? How much support do you guys give each other? And are you personally or collectively doing anything? Because like I said, I follow the sport like crazy. I'm following 3-4 kids right now, Africa, boxing, hands, this and that. And there's a lot of talent coming out of Africa, bro, in every sport.
Every sport.
Are you doing anything back there to kind of push the culture?
Absolutely. The first part of your question, I understand that it's very rare nowadays to be the first to do anything. And once again, I'm blessed to be in that position to where I could say I was the first African-born champion in the UFC history. And to be part of the first three African champions in history at the same time, it's crazy stats. And so being a part of that, it's very, very special to me. It's near and dear to my heart to where I love those other guys like they're my brothers. Like Francis is like my brother. You know, Izzy's on the other side of the world, so I don't see him as often. But, you know, we Nigerian at heart. We talk, you know, we support him. And we're one weight class apart. So I know the world wants me to move up and go ahead and challenge for his belt and get two belts. But what for? It means more to me that there's three African champions, two from Nigeria with belts, than me just holding two belts and leaving someone else out. That means so much more to me. And so it's incredible that I always want to do stuff with them. Like, you know, there's a tequila that we can be a part of. I'm like, yo, if I'm just a part of it, it might be a $5 million company, but if all three of us, it might be a $100 million company. Mm. You know, I'm always thinking like that with these guys. But also, you know, me going back to Nigeria now and understanding that how can I push this forward? Of course, I go back to Nigeria. Nigeria is, I mean, amazing. There's a lot of money in Nigeria, but of course, it's good. And then there's the poor, there's bad parts as well. What can I do to help? I got to use the vehicle that I understand right now, which is my sport. And so, I've started a promotion out there called African Knockout. They had a reality TV show, kind of like The Ultimate Fighter that's on Netflix. But they did the first season before I signed on. Now I'm signed on and partnered with them to where I want to change the whole face of it. I want to grow it because this is something that we speak worldwide. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what culture. We speak this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that is natural. What age?
Harrisburg.
Harrisburg.
At some point, so it's just a fighting is just something that the world speaks. And so it doesn't matter where you're at. I go back to Nigeria, it's always going to grow. So by putting now, giving, you know, fighters and giving these youth and kids, people, their opportunity to be able to grow in the sport and create a life for themselves. Because for some, this is all they can do.
Right.
You know, you might not have the education to be able to go to school and be a teacher or be a doctor, but God bless you with these and these. And with these, you could somehow change your life, change your family stars.
Hey, Shady, when you hear the name Nigerian Nightmare, what pops up in your head?
That's a running back for, you know, I know all my facts. The running back for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Okoye.
Yep. Okoye. Mm.
So my question is, us football players, when we see the Nigerian, we instantly think Christian.
Yeah.
So is it, tell us, does everybody get this name or how this does this go?
This is a name that growing up, you know, in any sport, when you have a Nigerian that's at the top of the sport, is dominating, he's the most proficient, and is carrying the culture, carrying that flag forward. This is a name that they're given. You know, there's a Nigerian Nightmare boxer before, WBC heavyweight champion of the world, Samuel Peter. Mm-hmm. He was a Nigerian Nightmare. You know, there's been a ton of soccer players that were Nigerian Nightmare because at that point in time, they were a nightmare for the sport. Mm. And so when I was growing up, I heard the name, I seen this one and that guy that was a Nigerian Nightmare. And then I was just like, man, if I ever got an opportunity to be able to carry that flag, I'm running with it. And so, lo and behold, I fall into the sport and I'm like, oh, this is my chance. And of course, I had to be that guy. But it's a nickname. You can't just disrespect this name now. You can't just carry it and not go
that's
hard.
That's a culture thing. That's a great question. I didn't know that. That's good.
And
so they give it to you, or you?
I mean, you got to prove it. You got to let you want to take on the name. You got to take on the responsibility of carrying that torch as well.
So let me ask you this then: who are you passing the chain to when this all said?
The other two guys.
He ain't passing it for a while.
It's not
passing it. But are the other guys allowed to promote or say they're the Nigerian Nightmare?
Izzy go by Stylebender.
Izzy's a Stylebender. Okay. And Francis is the Predator.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so, I mean, it's now we're in this day and age where it's trademark now. It's copyright. You got to make sure you
got the paperwork
get this money in it, you know. And so, for me, it's not about that.
There's no one coming up that you see?
There's you know, it's a young kid that trains here too, a Nigerian, Adamu. His name is Adamu. I think he's like 22, 23. I mean, this kid's a ninja. You know, and that's the thing too, is I need to hurry up and get my chips and get up out of here because, you know, times change. Everybody getting stronger, faster, younger. I want to make sure, like that's what I said, when I started, we started the promotion in Nigeria. We want to give them now an opportunity. So we want to build those guys from there. So once we start building these guys and the ones that are actually, this is what they want to do and they've dedicated themselves to, and we can see that, it's very easy for us to represent those guys and bring them over here, put them in the UFC or put them in Bellator or one of the biggest organizations in the world and say, hey, this is the next guy and be able to get that guy there. With me, it's a short vehicle because I know them all. So I see that, all right, you belong over here. I can make that phone call for you and get you over there.
Before we land the plane, we've read your story, and I know your daughter is a big part of your life. I had two girls first, and then I looked up, and thank you, Jesus, he gave me a little boy. But Junie is like my spitting image. But I know you're a girl, Dad. I follow you. I see what you post, this and that, that and this. Let's talk about your daughter, like the impact she has on you, changing different outlooks of you as a father. You spoke earlier about you don't want her reading certain things on the internet and this and that. Let them know, man. What's your pride and joy, you know?
No, my daughter. Yeah, my daughter. It's funny how she changed my life because I didn't realize it at the time. All I knew is I was trying to be that athlete. I'm headstrong on it. And, you know, I ain't got time for this, time for that. And I'm just focused on that. And I'm broke at the time and I'm struggling. How am I going to get here? And she's coming.
It's 14?
Yeah, she's coming. And I'm just like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. You know, I find out, you know, December 15th, the baby's coming. I'm like, I got $17 in the bank account. How I'm going to do this. And it was just something about it, how God just kind of puts things in order to where it's just like everything just fell in. Within that time, within a few months, I was on The Ultimate Fighter. A few months after that, I won that. Now I'm fighting in the UFC. A few months after that, I'm moving out. I'm getting a place for us.
Ching, ching.
It's just like
ching,
boom, ching. Boom, 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 boom. Things just fell into place within that, I want to say, 16 months. And, you know, it's a blessing. She just kind of, before for me, the biggest driving and motivating factor for me was competition. It's I want to mano y mano. I want to let you know I was better than you. That day, that was my biggest driving force. But now it's a different purpose behind it because it's, you know, I want her to go to the best private school so she can have every option open. You want to be a lawyer, doctor, this, every option. Right. Some people just,
that's dope.
Some people don't get that because they just don't get the opportunity. So they don't become lawyers because they don't have the opportunity to go to school.
Or they don't even know they can.
They don't know that. That's true. You know, and some might know they can, but you can't afford it.
Right.
You can't afford to go to school, or you no one's willing to provide you with that opportunity. So for my daughter, I want to make sure I give her every opportunity possible. But she still got to understand that we got to work for this.
Legendary conversation. You know, want to be respectful of your time. But we still got about 10 more questions. DJ got two. I got one or two. So quick. DJ, I know you got two. Boom. You gotta
Leon Edwards, upcoming fight.
Yeah.
Supposed to happen. You know, you've basically lapped. He's lapping the welterweight division.
Yeah.
Right. And you never want to look past this, but after a victory, and again, never want to look past this. Like what's next? What's down the pipeline?
Nah, Leon is a tough guy. That's my focus because I made that mistake one time. I've been told I made that mistake one time and nah, we're not doing that again. So God willing, I get through Leon Edwards. I've said it before, you know, now it's not as appealing of a fight. Because I wanted Canelo. I was crazy enough to, I wanted it. The boxers ain't getting it done. Why couldn't I go out there and try? Oh, you want
Canelo? Yeah, I wanted it. He's a big boxing fan, so now you got him woke. Now.
I wanted that, you know, because it was, boxers ain't getting it done. So why don't I try my luck? And plus, it's never been done in history. Pound for pound versus pound for pound. And subsequently, happened to be around the same weight class. It's never, ever been done. It would've been a humongous fight. We would've made the most money we would've ever made in any fight.
Hold on, what are we talking both about right now?
Is it still possible?
Who?
Canelo, the
doing
boxer.
What? I like his mindset.
What you mean?
Boxing?
He's not gonna come over to me.
Right now, would you still take it though?
They won't do that. Nah,
he's not gonna come to me.
We talking about boxing.
Yeah, no, that's the thing is, I'm crazy enough to try.
I respect that.
I'm crazy enough to try.
And the money gonna be good.
Exactly.
So you want
to just crazy enough. You got good hands.
To try.
Come on,
that's what I'm saying, though. That's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, but Canelo hit me.
I let everybody think what they, you know. Like, let's be honest.
Would you fight Jake Paul?
No.
Because the money can be crazy.
Enough.
What you mean it's not enough? You can make 25.
I won't fight that dude.
25, that's not enough.
It's for me fighting Jake Paul, I'm helping him.
Right.
Now you're going back to principle and.
Yes. Me fighting Canelo, it's 100 million mano, mano. Each, walk away.
Pound for pound.
Mano, mano.
Right. Yeah.
That's the catch right there.
Okay. That's
right.
It.
What's your other question?
I beat Jake Paul. Nobody cares.
Right.
They expect me to beat Jake Paul.
He's supposed to win. Yeah. That's one of them things.
Nobody cares.
Is he a cartoon? What is he?
You know, I fight Jake Paul. I beat him. No one cares. Right. You're supposed to beat him.
Right. The bank account. Your family, your wife, your
but
kids.
I still get a bank account now. I still get that.
Easy
work.
They can be bought. They can be bought. You know what I mean?
But listen, though, I beat Canelo, biggest athlete in the world. Yep. Not even close.
That's true.
You made that time.
I hear you.
100 million in the bank.
And he get respect. 100 million and he get respect.
Yeah, but bro.
If I'm a gamble, I'm a gamble well.
That's fine, but you're not gambling with Jake Paul. I mean, well, are you? Yes, are you? Is. Are you saying
you
you're gambling?
25
is that
million?
What I hear you
he said
that you're gambling
million.
With Jake Paul?
Absolutely.
Oh,
you think
so
Jake
you got,
think
a chance? Got a chance of beating you?
Listen, any man, me and him getting a scrap right now. Any he could touch
he
me,
catch
in
you
anyway.
Yeah. Anything can happen.
I'm not. That's what I'm saying. I'm not naive and ignorant enough to think that
you know
I'm
gonna be
God.
Breaking news.
Not let them put it on the news. Let them put it on the news. Yeah, but
no,
you're gonna drop an NFT project.
I got the hat.
Listen now. I'm a realist. Now I know I'm a dog walker, but at the same time, everyone has a puncher's chance.
Conor McGregor, what should you say? You said your trainer named Ali
is my manager.
Your manager.
Yeah.
Your manager come out and say, because Conor wants to come back after his broken leg and jump right back into this title fight with you. Or the winner of your next fight in August, or right now. How you feel about Conor?
Man, Conor don't want this work. Connor don't want this work. Connor is doing, see, that's another thing too, it's strategic.
Is that
Connor
a gamble?
Connor is very strategic. He's very strategic
now. Yes, he is.
To where he's just throwing these out because he knows as soon as I throw it out, 10 of these people gonna write about
it. Pick it up, yep.
Everywhere.
And then when they come to him and say, yo, all right, here's the contract for the fight, he don't even return phone calls. You know, I done tweeted him before. I done tweeted Connor before. I said, all right, because I'm looking for somebody to fight. All right, you want the fight? You got the fight. If you tell, call him tomorrow and say, hey, I want the fight, they're not going to say no.
Is he done? Is he done?
No, he's not done because he needs fighting.
No, 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 no.
Oh, as I had a champion.
Yes, is he done?
Yes.
Will he ever be champion again?
No. He's not necessarily done, but he's done as a champion.
Yeah.
And this is my perspective because when I fight guys, I study their hearts. And I watch fights, I watch their heart. And for me, he's done. He's done. Because I don't know whether it's the goal was to get the money.
Right.
I don't know if that's what it was. Because he, you know, there's a story about him. He was broke. And, you know,
I love
for
that
me,
story.
For me, it seemed like it was about not being broke.
Right.
Getting the money.
I agree with that.
So I understand that. Now he's not broke.
Yeah. Far from
anymore.
That.
Yeah. But how are you going to be a champion? Because that's what you, that's what drove you to become champion because you didn't want to be broke. And now you're not broke anymore.
But the relationship between him and Dana, don't you think, like, he can call you out?
Yeah, he can call me out, but that means he's going to fight me.
With the relationship with him and Dana,
yeah,
Dana is going to, so somewhat, my opinion, protect him to get back to, maybe he not, might not be ready for you.
Yeah.
But as far as payday, he might be ready for you because he's going to bring him out. So what I'm saying is Dana's going to protect him so he can get back to you. Maybe.
No,
do we
the
have
thing
a
is,
chance of hell to beat
the thing
you
is,
right now?
At the point, is, it's not necessarily that they protect him because he's bigger. He's that biggest. Big to where he can pick. He can call his shots. He's that big. Connor can say, I'm going to fight you tomorrow, and he's still going to sell you know, 100,000, a million buys.
Still got to be strategic, you know?
And what fighter won't take that?
Yeah, exactly.
If he want to fight you tomorrow, he's going to take it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'll grab that check.
You going to grab it?
Absolutely, I'll grab
and
that check.
And he's not the same fighter. You talked about the heart.
Yeah, but it's for him, I think that's what it is. I think.
How's my heart?
I think that was your heart. Your heart,
what's up, man? Let's finish up. Let me get that rematch.
You want that rematch?
Come on.
You seen
come
I hemmed him up real quick.
No, come on, bro. I need my rematch.
You see I hemmed him up real quick.
No, come
you
on, bro.
You
want,
hey, you it's got a little different.
Yeah, come on, bro. You got round one. Right come now. On, bro.
It's a
let's
little
go.
Different. You ready for that 10,
I'm ready
12
right
second
now.
Play.
I'm ready. Come on, let's go over here.
You're not ready for that
take
5
the cameras
minutes.
Over. Come on. Just give me like 1 minute.
He got a fight, bro.
I'm
gonna be easy.
His name is Brandon Marshall.
His name is Brandon.
Oh, y'all gonna have
that. Yeah, that's the thing about football.
Fight to get a meal, yeah. Wrongfully accused, we had to fight to get a pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam. You gotta light the wooden wheels straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread, I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.